Beautiful congregation it is assembled here at Union Church this morning. And Brother Joe just made mention of, we're thankful for your presence, and certainly I'm thankful to be here. Tuned in to you last week on Zoom and was thankful for that option that I had. And this morning I ask you to pray for us at the time we stand before you. We appreciate the song service, your participation in that, and Brother James's humble prayer on behalf of me and many more. We do want to pray this morning for, I've never been to Dawson Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Dawson Springs, Kentucky, but I understand the church was leveled and some of the members of that church lost their lives in that great storm that occurred this weekend. We pray for them this morning. We ask an interest in your prayer, the time that we stand before you. The subject matter I have on my mind this morning is beautiful. I trust that you'll pray that I present it in such a way that you'll see it as well, and we'll, you know, we need to take these things home with us and apply them to our daily walk, and that we'd be better fit subjects in His kingdom and in His that we would worship Him who has done all things for us, has prepared a place for us in heaven that one day will, as we sing this morning, yes, our troubles will be over when we see Him face to face. I look forward to that day. The subject matter I have this morning is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says something like this: "But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." If something is pleasing to the Lord, it would do us great benefit to pay attention to it. It says there, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." In that verse, communicate doesn't mean communicate as much as we would think of it. You know, there was a lot of communication with me last week, and I'm thankful for that. A lot of you contacted me either by phone call or by text message, let you know you were praying for me. And Type A flu and 7 days of isolation was not fun. Caused me to miss my appointment last Sunday, but I did again have the option to tune in to you. But to do good and to communicate. This communicate means a joyful transfer of possessions for the benefit of someone else. This example is given to us in Scripture time and time again. You remember how Hebrews 13 begins? It says this in verse 1. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain." Verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." I thought about this morning, prepared for this message, and most of the time I get up pretty early on Sunday morning, and I listen to music, meditate upon the Scriptures. I join in the Zoom service at 7:30 every Sunday morning now with Coach Steve Fortenberry. That's something the Lord has put on his heart to do. Sister Kathy worked with him at Dexter, and just an outstanding man, a great influence on my life, and I thank God for his life. But I thought about, you know, this communicate. Yeah, we need to have communication. I've remembered in times past where I remember sitting at my home on Saturday morning. My mom had prepared a big breakfast, and we were gathered there to eat. And Daddy would say something to the effect of, "Honey, now Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so will be here about 5 o'clock today." And that's the first my mom had heard of it. Sister Sandra probably may have been down that road with Brother Melvin. I thought about Brother Melvin this past Wednesday, who would have been 98 if he was still living. Brother Bill would have been 94 that same day. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, last night there were a lot of people gathered around. If you'll allow me to digress for just a moment, there were a lot of people who paid attention to a television program that came on at 7 o'clock. I heard some talking about some Christmas shows that came on last night. We were talking about before church, but this show was about awarding the Heisman Trophy for the. They said just the recipient would join the most elite fraternity in football, in college football. I didn't pay much attention to it. I had very little interest in it. Now, if Southern Miss ever had a Heisman candidate, I might be a little more in tune to it. But, you know, the team that intrigues me the most is, for 30 years, Allstate Insurance Company has recognized an Allstate Good Works team. I don't know how familiar you are with that, but for 30 years, they recognized 22 players and one coach from across all the levels of college, Division I college football, and the levels below that, I guess. But you know, this year, I just mentioned three of these. There was one from Ole Miss. The punter at Ole Miss was a recipient. He grew up in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and his best friend's dad developed ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, more commonly referred to as Lou Gehrig's disease, to bring recognition to ALS. And Brother Jerry Holmes' wife, Sister Miranda, down at the church at Lexi, died a few years back from Lou Gehrig's disease, and it was a terrible condition. I would go there and visit her, and mentally she was as sharp as ever, but neurologically she couldn't express herself. And at times I'd visit with her, and tears would just stream down her face. And I pray they find a cure for that one day. Sister Alex in the pharmacy world, I pray we find a cure for that. It's a dreaded disease. I remember Roger Lawrence died from it. But he built him a ALS amazing lemonade, awesome lemonade stand. Began to raise money for ALS research. And in the last year, I don't know how he did it, but they raised over $102,000 for ALS research. And also, he's a swimming coach for special needs children. That speaks volumes to the character and integrity of that young man. There's one from from Horn Lake, Mississippi, that played at the University of Georgia, N'Kobe Dean. He had a 3.53 in mechanical engineering. I don't have time to do all he does, to play football at the level he does, to have a 3.53 in mechanical engineering. And his qualification for this honor, this All-State Good Works team, was that he raised over $200,000 for in an organization he organized called Dogs for Pups. They raised over $200,000 to help people in Athens County, Georgia, where he lives now and plays football, to expand internet access for them and Wi-Fi hotspots and increase learning for them. He also led a drive where they raised over 27,000 items for the Northeast Georgia Food Bank. He also helped lead a drive that they found 427, they collected 427 coats that were new or gently worn coats for boys and girls clubs. I don't know if I had time to do all that. These people mean a lot more to me than the Heisman Trophy winner. There was one other one that I'll mention, played at the University of Kentucky. Offensive lineman, big guy. And in 2018, he had open heart surgery. The doctors told him his football career was over. He walked on to the University of Kentucky, redshirted. Now he's a starter for the University of Kentucky and a volunteer with the Lexington chapter of the American Heart Association. And also he organized a CPR training for the entire Kentucky football staff. There's 19 more of those players. You can go to the television program. They give an hour-long show where they recognize these young people for their contributions, and I applaud that so much. It's very much in Scripture. As you'll turn to God's Word, you know, the Lord set the example for us. He said in Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist, if you remember, is in prison, and he's very despondent. He's discouraged. And he told his disciples, said, go and ask this Messiah. Go ask the Lord, is he the one that should come, or should we look for another? And remember the Lord's response. He didn't blast his first cousin on his mother's side. He could have blasted him, but he just simply told his disciples to go back and show John again these things that you do both see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says that the God of the heavens anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the Bible says he went about doing good. He went about doing good. I just mentioned the things that right before that in Matthew chapter 11. Just think about this morning. That song I love listening to during the Christmas season, Mary, Did You Know? I encourage you to try to listen to that song. Listen to the words of it. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Did you give sight to a blind man? But friends, above all things this morning, don't you understand, he's given us something better than sight. Better than the ability to move around, the ability to get over the flu and be back at church, the desire to come to the Lord's house. He's prepared a place for his children. We sing about this morning. He's prepared for us a mansion in glory. And one day we'll inhabit that mansion because of what he's done for us. He went around doing good because he was anointed of the Holy Ghost and with great power. You know, in John chapter 21, Jesus Christ, his best friend on the earth. Brother Daddy Easy prays sometimes for good friends. What a blessing it is to have friendship with the Lord's people and with those that we sojourn with in this life, that we all have burdens that we face. I think about Brother Mike's family. It's so good to see some from his family here this morning. Yes, when that chair is empty for the first time at Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, it's tough. But yes, our troubles will be over when we see him face to face. What did his best friend write about him at the very end of the book of John? In chapter 21, verse 25. He said, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, if everything that the Lord did while he's on earth was written about, the earth couldn't even contain the things that should be written. 33 and a half years upon the earth. Can you imagine the things that he did every single day that he walked upon the earth? Friends, we have an amazing Savior. Well, I thank God for all he's done for us. So what about us this morning? How does that apply to us? Somebody said something about maybe Brother James in his prayer. Somebody mentioned this morning. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, what does it tell us there? Let your light so shine before men that others will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Oh, this book teaches good works. This Bible teaches good works. But, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, we've been indoctrinated with this across the years. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. It's a gift of God, not of works. Take that home with you this morning, friends. Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which Christ has before ordained, that we should walk in them. Find somebody this holiday season to try to make a positive impact on their life. For some of you carrying burdens this morning, I don't know anything about. But find somebody during the holiday season to try to encourage them on life's pathway. I encourage you to pray for Brother Jesse Birch. I meant to mention him this morning. I communicated with him quite a bit yesterday on cell phone and text message. And he mentioned he's carrying a heavy burden right now. Just a lot of problems in his life. And he's been here to worship with us before, not in somewhat recent past. But we ask you to pray for him and Brother Kenneth during this holiday season. But as we turn toward 2022, you know, some of us will set resolutions and so forth. Let's find somebody. Let's find somebody to extend good works to. What the Bible tells us this morning, Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I encourage all of us to find greater opportunities to serve and to encourage as we walk upon the earth. I mentioned Ephesians in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to know about good works, how to go about doing them? It's right here in Scripture. You'll find a man by the name of Cornelius in Scripture. Cornelius in the book of Acts, it talks about him. He was a centurion of the Italian band. And I love what it said there about him in Scripture. It said that he was a devout man. He feared God with all his household. He gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. What about a lady by the name of Tabitha in Scripture? Tabitha lived at Joppa. You know, I'd have loved to visit in her home. I've been in most of the homes of the people in this congregation this morning. I've been in your home, nearly everybody here. And I love coming there. I haven't been in the new homes yet, but I've been in some of the homes in this church. And it's always an amazing welcome. Brother Ronald Lawrence is just amazing. You know, I remember Brother Ricky Harcrow talking about that one time that he was going off to a church meeting, and he was county commissioner then, which is like a supervisor, what we call a supervisor here in South Mississippi. And one of the ladies in his office, as he said, Brother Ricky, you want me to make hotel arrangements, accommodations for you? And he said, no, I'm going to be staying with Brother and Sister so-and-so. And she said, do you know them? He said, not yet. Not yet. She said, let me get this straight. You're going to drive and go stay with somebody you don't even know who they are. He said, yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, the world will understand that. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me read with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. We're going to read the entire chapter. It's not that long, but if you have your Bibles, read along with me as we look at chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. And I had to look up the definition of superfluous. It means unnecessary. I'm writing a letter, but I'm really writing it unnecessarily. I don't need to write it to you, but except for one reason, perhaps, that he'll point out here in just a moment. He said, for I know the foreignness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What's happening here, he's bringing some church members with him, and he said, I didn't need to even write this letter, other than the fact, just to give you the courtesy of knowing that we're coming, that you may be prepared. I mentioned, you know, sitting at my breakfast table before the child, and Daddy would inform Mama that we're going to have company at 5 o'clock that afternoon. And, you know, usually Mama could manage that quite well, and did manage it well, but I think she got the point across that, you know, she needed a little notice in advance. But he said, I've been boasting on you, and he said, I want them to see, give you an opportunity to be ready when we come to worship with you. Said, for this we say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye all always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While it's by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professional subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. Liberal distribution. That's the heart of a servant. He said about their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And we know every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. I believe this unspeakable gift means we can't even express. You know, the Bible says that eye has not seen or ear heard nor enter into the heart of man the things that the Lord has prepared for those that love Him. And we know we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us, is what Scripture says. He's boasting on these people. You give liberally, liberal distribution. I've been in the homes of you and many others across this land growing up in the church. And we were treated like royalty. We were treated like kings and priests. You know, I mentioned this morning about those All-State Good Works recipients, those 22 football players recognized for their charitable spirit and their contribution to society. You know, I go to graduation sometime. There's a lot of valedictorians and salutatorians sitting on the sound of my voice. There's probably a few more in here. Brother Russell said, you know, Brother Russell said he's an honor graduate. It was an honor to graduate. But there's a lot of valedictorians and salutatorians in here. And I always give you know, that always catches my attention when I go to graduation services and ceremonies and I hear the valedictory address and so forth. And I'm thankful for those gifts. You know, a lot of that is just God-given intellect and hard work. And most of those come from affluent families. But I can tell you, sometimes there are exceptions to the rule. I've told this, and I've got to be careful because I know where this is going out to the whole world in a sense through Zoom. But there was a student one time at Bogotá that didn't fit that mold. When Sister Karen was battling cancer, his family brought a greeting card one night to the old gym at Bogotá that I was running that basketball league. And I've told this story here before, and I've told it many times, and I've thought about it many times. They brought me a greeting card that night. I didn't open it until I got through the night's activities. And inside, on the outside of the card, it said, "You can count on us to pray." And on the inside of the card, it said, "You can count on Jesus to answer." And inside that greeting card was as worn, a $10 bill, and a worn $5 bill as you could imagine. It was they'd been worn out. And at that time, this family did not have electricity in their home. The power had been turned off at their home. And they brought me $15. One of their sons was one of the brightest kids I've ever been around in school. I went to him one time. I'd always go at these kids after the state test and talk to them. I went to him after the U.S. history test and asked him how he thought he did. And he said, "I don't think I missed a one." He thought, no, he said, "I'll be surprised if I missed a one." We got his score back. He missed one. He missed one. One question away from a perfect score in U.S. history. But, you know, somehow I go to those graduations. And what I'm just as impressed with is those red cords. Those high school seniors that have those red cords for donating blood, there's restrictions that they have to make for that. You know, when I'm in a hospital needing a transfusion, your GPA is pretty well meaningless to me. Maybe for the doctors that are there, and their GPA is important, I guess. But if I need blood, that's what I'm telling you this morning. What did the Lord say? But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. There's others in Scripture. You know, I think about this morning, so many in Scripture come to mind about those who gave of themselves and their talents and their abilities. I mentioned Cornelius this morning. I mentioned a lady by the name of Tabitha, also known as Dorcas. They went there and she had died. I don't know exactly how old she was, but she had passed away. And there were great weeping there. The widows were there, and they were showing Peter the coats and the garments that this sister had made. I bet her handiwork was impressive. She'd given of those to many, many people. I know a sister in the church at Lexi. There's a lot of people, including me, who slept last night under a quilt. She's deceased now, Sister Betty Holmes, but there's a lot of people that slept under a quilt last night that she stitched. You know, Peter brought her back to life. What about one by the name of Alexander the Coppersmith? in Scripture. When Paul is writing to Timothy over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4 perhaps, he begins to tell about how Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. He did me much evil. He resisted, greatly resisted their teachings, it said there in Scripture, but said the Lord will render unto him according to his work. The Bible says the Lord will withhold no good thing from those that diligently seek him. We need to work in his kingdom, dear friends, and look for opportunities to serve his people while we live upon the earth. That's one of the point I'm trying to make to you this morning through Scripture. You know, I'm going to read one from Luke chapter 5 in just a moment, but in Luke chapter 10, you'll find one called the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan. You know, the man that went down to Jericho and fell among thieves and was stripped of his raiment and left half dead on the side of the road. And the first man that came by was a priest, and he passed by on the other side. And there was a Levite came by, and he looked upon the man that passed by on the other side. But there was a certain Samaritan that came that had compassion upon him. And you remember the story very well. A good example for us as we sojourn in life. Good Samaritan. You know, that old Jewish lawyer that stood up to tempt the Lord and asked him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? What does the law teach? To love thy neighbor as thyself. And he said, who is my neighbor? And he began to kill him, account. And no Jewish lawyer had trouble naming the Samaritan as the hero of the story. He said, the one who showed him mercy. The one who showed him compassion. What about... what about in Scripture, when in the book of Ruth in chapter 2? In Ruth chapter 2, we find, you know, in that time when they were to clear, when they were to harvest the crops, they were to leave some in the corners for the poor to come in and glean after they had gotten finished. Sandra, I mentioned this morning, I wish I had not remembered, I knew that about that verse when I was a kid, and Mama was reprimanding me for leaving butter beans or peas behind me that I didn't pick. I said, Mom, I got to leave those for the poor to come glean. But, you know, her mindset was, let's pick them and go give them to them. Who came up with that brilliant idea? But, you know, they said there in Scripture, said, let's let Ruth glean in the field of Boaz. And also, let's give her some handfuls of purpose. Let's leave some barley for her that's easy for her to pick up and to take home with her. Let me think of some others real quickly this morning in Scripture. There was a time that David, speaking of the best friends, David's best friend was Jonathan. And Jonathan's dad, King Saul, was jealous of David and was after him to take his life from him. David said one time, there's but a step between me and death. We don't know when we'll take that step. We need to honor our Lord with our body and our spirit, which are His today. We need to do good right now. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. It doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot. You know, the $15 from someone who doesn't have electricity, that'll encourage you to keep on fighting. That'll encourage you to keep on keeping on. But you know, David told Jonathan told David, said, "You go hide out by the stone easel, maybe Ezel, brother Hunter. I'm not sure, but Ezel. You'll hide by the stone." And he said, "When I gauge how Daddy's feeling about you, I'm going to shoot arrows. If I shoot them close to that stone, you stay. You come to see us. But if I shoot it beyond that stone, you keep on going." And, of course, he shot the arrow beyond the stone. There's a message to David. Of course, him and Jonathan said their farewells. But that's what he needed at that time. He needed a little information about the situation. He shot those arrows beyond that stone. And David knew that we needed to part. That King Saul was still out to get me and to take my life from me. In Luke chapter 5. read with me in Scripture for just a few moments here in Luke chapter 5. And we'll get into verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a man in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. If you look at the word palsy, it's a form of paralysis. This gentleman was immobile. I don't know how old he was, but it was in great need of healing. And there were some gathered there to hear the Lord, and so many that the multitude that couldn't even get to him. These men had carried him there. He had no way. It's kind of like the gentleman at the pool of Bethesda, had been in that condition for 38 years, sitting there beside those waters, waiting for the angel of the Lord to stir up the water, and the first one in was cured of whatever disease they had. I can imagine the great scramble as that water was stirred up as these began to go toward that water. But he said, "I have no man to put me in the water." We told Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ arrives on the scene, things change, dear friends. Yes, when we see him face to face, our troubles will be over. Just as it was upon when he walked up on earth, when they saw him face to face, their troubles seemed to end. But they couldn't find a way to get him in, so they took the man up on the roof. I don't know how much this man weighed, but I'm sure it took some kind of effort to get him up on the roof. And they lowered him on the couch, right into the midst of where Jesus Christ was teaching. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins." He said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house." And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Can you imagine when in the time that the Lord lives, how many times people have had that mindset, "We have seen strange things today"? Have you ever seen any strange things in your lifetime? I have. I've seen things in my lifetime that I knew only came one way. The one in James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning." Friends, there's so many times in Scripture. I think about these. When Rahab the harlot, there were two men came to her house that were spies that Joshua had sent out. And she hid them from the enemy, and gave them wrong, false information, and they went on about their way to save these men. I thought of another one in 2 Kings chapter 5, I think it is. When there was a young girl she was a maiden. She had been taken captive out of Israel and was in Syria. She was a servant to the wife of Naaman. Naaman was a great warrior. The Bible tells us he was, but the Bible says in one little small sentence says, but he was a leper. He was a leper. And this young girl told her the lady that she was serving, Naaman's wife, said, "Oh, there's a prophet in Israel. There's a prophet in Israel," said, "if you go and see him, he can cure you of this dreaded disease." Leprosy was a death sentence, friends. Kind of like sin is today. But there's a cure. There was a cure for leprosy in a way. And in some occasions in the Bible, there's a cure for sin in the blood of Jesus Christ. I know we praise God for that this morning. But this man, you know, he wanted to do it his way first. This great warrior, he said, "You know, it said go dip seven times in the River Jordan, you'll be clean. Your skin will be white as snow, just as a baby's skin." He said, "No," said, "I, you know, Aren't the rivers of Damascus, Abana and Parfar, better than the rivers of Israel? As one of his servants told him, said, Naaman, if the Lord would have told you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. But he'd give you instructions. And of course, he went and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan River and was healed from this infirmity. There's this time and time again in Scripture where you see where the Lord's people provided what was needed at the right time. Yeah, it came from the Lord, but He uses His people to make things better for others upon the earth. I'll close with this morning. Many years ago, of course, Sister Carrie and I got married right here on this platform on November 25th, 1988. But before that, we were engaged, and she went with our family to Opryland. Brother Melvin and Sister Doris went. One of Sister Karen's best friends, who was married one of the Oak Ridge Boys' sons and a great, great singer, she met us up there. Sister Anita Layton from the church at Old Good Hope met us up there. And we sang in the hotel room and had such a good time. And one afternoon we were at Opryland, and we were coming out of the amusement park there. It was about dusk. It was almost dark. And there were two elderly ladies there that had a flat tire. And I probably tell this story here before, but it has a point. We began to communicate with these ladies that had a flat, Brother Wayne, Brother Melvin, said, like you ladies having problems. And said, yes, sir. Said, we got a flat tire, and neither one of us have an idea in the world about how to change it. And said, we don't know what we're going to do. And Brother Wayne spoke to me, I know what we're going to do. I got two boys that specialize in that. And we began to change that flat and communicate with these precious ladies. And they said they were from Maryville, Tennessee. I don't know how big Maryville, Tennessee, whether you go by it on the way to Nashville, but looking back then, it was about 20,000 people. And we began to communicate with them. They said they were from Maryville, Tennessee. And I asked them a couple weeks before, Brother Harold Hunt had been down to preach the meeting down in Tylertown. He lives in Maryville, Tennessee. So I asked, I said, any chance do y'all know Elder Harold Hunt? And these ladies looked at each other and then looked back at us. And one of them said, that's our pastor. I've never seen those precious sisters since that time or before that time. I love to visit in their home, though. I'm sure they've gone on to be with the Lord now. But I believe I'll see them again in the day of the resurrection. Until the Lord returns, pay close attention to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I pray individually and collectively that each one of you have a Merry Christmas. I know in some homes it's going to be a little different. But again, I point you to what we sang this morning. Yes, our troubles will be over when we see Him face to face. Not until then. Not until then. We're going to have troubles. Let's go around doing good. Let's not forget that. Let's communicate. Let's transfer our possessions to others. Brother Russell mentioned this morning, there's some less fortunate than us. Those in our school system, you've seen it, Brother Jason. You've seen some children that didn't grow up in a home like you did. They don't have the blessings that we've got. But above all these blessings, friends, we have a Savior who loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if He did that for us, and we ought to follow His instruction, and I keep pointing out to you this morning. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. May we do things in the holiday season and in 2022 that are pleasing to our Lord and Savior. May God bless you with our prayer this morning.